This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The electoral votes that will see Donald Trump taking the oath of office in 2 weeks will be counted before a joint session of Congress today. There's extra security in place because of the violence on Capitol Hill 4 years ago following Donald Trump's 2020 loss. Today, President Biden heads to the site of the New Year's truck ramming on Bourbon Street.
President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden are expected to arrive in New Orleans in the late afternoon today. The White House says there they will grieve with the families and community members impacted by the tragic attack on January 1st and meet with state and local officials. Tonight, the Bidens will attend an interfaith prayer service for peace and healing hosted by the Archdiocese of New Orleans at the city's cathedral. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Nippon Steel and U.S. Steel have filed a federal lawsuit challenging the Biden administration's decision to block their proposed $15 billion deal. The move was the first time a U.S. president blocked a merger between a U.S. and Japanese firm. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
4 AM 1490 WLCX. I'm Jimmy Cuska. The search continues for a man accused of killing two children and an adult in New Lisbon a week ago. Police are searching for 47-year-old Virgil Thieu, who is considered armed and dangerous and should not be approached. Thieu is accused of killing 33-year-old Elizabeth Kolba, as well as a 12-year-old girl and a 13-year-old girl. According to New Lisbon police, tips have led them to search the New Lisbon area. Thieu is the lone suspect in the triple homicide investigation. If anyone sees him, they should call 911. President Donald Trump is promising tariffs on imported products from overseas, as well as from our neighbors to the north and south once he takes office. How would a tariff on imported oil from Canada affect gas prices in the Midwest? Here's Patrick DeHaan, petroleum analyst at Gas Buddy.
Definitely the Midwest and Rockies. These are the two regions of the country that have long had stable access and pipelines that flow directly down from Canada. And that's why the Great Lakes and Rockies would be much more affected by this tariff potentially than anyone else.
DeHaan says that the increased cost of oil due to the tariffs and the added cost for refining it into fuel would be passed down to consumers here in the Midwest.
Never before have we seen basically the system that has worked, right? The status quo for decades could suddenly massively change overnight if Trump implements these massive tariffs. Having a tariff on Canadian oil, which is the primary oil we refine here in the Great Lakes, that would have a catastrophic impact on the type of oil that refineries here in our region are paying. And that's why it would be passed down to us.
Without tariffs, gas prices are expected to stay below $3 per gallon for several weeks here in Wisconsin. Tomorrow is the deadline for anyone looking to get on the ballot for the spring election. Candidates need to file their declaration of candidacy, campaign finance forms, proof of residency, and signatures by 5 p.m. tomorrow in order to appear on the ballot. Anyone who misses the deadline can still run as a registered write-in for office by filing before noon on March 28th, the Friday before the spring election. If needed, a primary will be held on February 18th, with the spring election happening on April 1st. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Bucks are in Toronto. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Toronto tonight to take on the Raptors. Milwaukee looking to get out of a rut. They've lost four of their last five games. Doc Rivers asked if his message is getting through to his players.
I think you guys think we don't say anything or something. You know, what do you think? We're watching film and just it's quiet time? No, I mean, I'm being serious. Like, do you think we're not saying stuff? Like, we say stuff every day. What's not happening is we're getting off the bad starts. We're not moving the ball. We're not playing right. We got to play right. We've done that. We got to get back to doing it.
NFL, for the first time in 6 years, the Bears beat the Packers. It came on a last-second field goal, the final Chicago 24, Green Bay 22. Next, the Packers play the Eagles in Philly, Sunday at 3:30 in the playoffs.
We don't hang our heads about this. We just use it to learn, use it to go forward. You know, it is just disappointing because, you know, we should have won that game.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the low 20s. Wind chills remain around zero. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 9. Partly sunny Tuesday, highs near 20 degrees. Partly cloudy, single digits Tuesday night. For Wednesday, partly sunny and highs near 17.
It's 8 at our studios. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I am live from Madison and welcome singer-songwriter Katie Scullin into the studio. Then Matt Miller and I discuss award season and 2025 upcoming movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Eagle, 1490 AM.
Good morning and welcome to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. I braved a blizzard this morning.
Well, you're calling it a blizzard. Cincinnati and St. Louis and those people, man. They got it, man. Well over a foot of snow.
Yeah, they got a real blizzard, but it was a pretty unique experience driving, and it was like the roads weren't even wet for 45 minutes of my hour drive, and then boom, and there's like 3-4 inches of snow in Racine already.
You know, man, it really is. As I was coming in, it was dry all the way until I got into Racine. And even while I was in Racine, as I was turning, there was very little snow. And then I made a left to come down 16th Street. And all of a sudden, snow is there. And we're talking a couple inches. So to come from nothing, you know, to 2 or 3 inches, man, it's pretty. You said you saw as much as 6 inches.
Yeah, I might have been exaggerating a little, but I bet by the time we get out of here, we will have 6 inches.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, Calvin, it's January.
Yeah, this is what we asked for.
Well, it's not what you and I asked for. But, you know, man, they got people stranded in Kansas City, Missouri. I mean, just stranded, man. It's terrible. And the fact that we have been able to dodge it is a good thing.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Did you watch the Packer game?
Yeah, it was a heartbreaker.
Hey, man, it was the Chicago Bears, man. You know?
Yeah, and it always, you don't want to lose to Chicago because it's a rivalry game, but it ultimately doesn't really affect where the Packers are in the playoffs. So,
you know, it doesn't change anything, right? Except for maybe you realize, hey, man, they don't have much of a chance. They're not going to win the Super Bowl. Safe to say that?
Well, to be completely honest with you, I've kind of accepted that after they lost to Detroit the second time. I was like, okay, maybe we'll hold on for one more year.
Yeah, you know, man, it's, you know, they look good almost the whole season, right? I mean, they look really great. On offense or on defense. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have either Leroy Butler or Gilbert Brown join me this week. I don't know which one. Which one do you want me to get on? Do you want me to have on? Leroy Butler?
Hey, I mean, they're both fantastic. Whoever's available would be great.
Yeah, I'm going to have either Leroy Butler or Gilbert Brown on this week. I'll call both of them. Maybe I'll get both of them on at the same time to have a dialogue and a conversation about, you know, the Packers' chances. I talked to Gilbert last week, and hey, look, man, it's about time. You know, we brought you back on. He said, well, all you got to do is call me. So, that's not how he says it. Hey, Earl, all you got to do is call. I can't come on unless you call me. I said, okay, Gilbert. The only request I have is, will you be up and ready to go? So that's an inside joke. We used to do something with Gilbert. I used to have Gilbert on every Monday. I haven't talked to him in a while. I mean, hadn't had him on. So we'll have him on as the Packers prepare to play against the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, the NFL, man, football is – who won the game last night between the Vikings and the Lions?
I believe the Lions pulled it off.
Oh, they did. Because, man, I was tired. I fell asleep. I didn't get a chance to see it. But here's a guy who should know, none other than Mr. Detroit himself, Mr. Al Holmes. Hey, good morning to you, Al. How you doing, man?
Good morning, gentlemen, and how's everything going? I understand you have a problem with snow. Why?
Hey, man, ask the people in St. Louis, ask the people in St. Louis, Cincinnati, and all through that Missouri, you know, Missouri and states along that belt, you know, how they feel about the snow.
You just said I'm from Detroit. I grew up in snow and ice.
Hey, Al.
And when these people get this little snow and stuff, put your boots on and your skis and your ice skates and go on out there and deal with
it. Hey, Al.
It ain't going to go nowhere.
Amen. Hey, Al. So, you know, come on, man. You are happy that we're not wrestling with a foot and a half of snow this morning. You have to be.
No.
Oh, well, you would.
Man, it's dry as a bone.
I know.
I haven't seen an inch of snow yet this winter.
Well, would you want to see a foot and a half of snow like so many in the Midwest are dealing with?
Yeah.
Why? You're not a guy who snow. I assume you're not tobogganing boarding or a snowmobiling or ice fishing. I think I know you well enough to know that you're not doing any of those things.
Not anymore. I used to.
Okay. Well, so why
when
would
we
you?
When we were kids, we used to take bus trips all the way to the Upper Peninsula so we could go skiing.
Hey, Al. Used to.
I said used to, but okay. Hey, that's part of my blood. That's in my blood. But see, the deal is, I'd rather see snow any day than have all that grass to cut all summer and all them bugs.
Hey, man, give me the grass.
I can deal with snow and ice. I ain't going to deal with them bugs.
Hey, Al, people may say, hey, that guy sounds contrary.
What? I'm a northern person, and I love snow and ice. I prefer that. And not only that, I move around more in the winter than I do in the summer because I don't like hot weather.
Well, okay. I don't know how to even combat that other than, okay. Hey, Al. You see the Packers?
Yes, sir.
What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I watched that mess.
What's your thoughts?
Any given day? It wasn't about I'm saying, see, I played football, but the point is a lot of times it's about attitude. Coaches tell you, a coach, you know that. It's not about whether you have the physical ability to do the job. It's about your attitude. And they went in there thinking that, oh, we're just playing the Bears, so we can just, you know, we're going to win no matter what. And they didn't put forth the effort.
You know, Al, a lot of athletics is attitude. And as you stated, the other guys are professionals too, right?
That's right. And they came to win.
Yeah, well.
They wanted to finish their, they had a bad season, and they wanted to finish it off on a high note. They know they weren't going to play no more after yesterday.
You know, and Al, the thing is, they know that they should have beat the Packers the first game. And they blocked the field goal the last second the Packers blocked the field goal. So they felt like we can play with them, right? They're not that much better than we are.
That's absolutely correct. But, see, Chicago has some attitude problems, too. And, you know, they're doing too much talking and not enough sweat.
See, yeah.
All of it, they need to close their mouths and get in the weight room and get out on that field and practice what they're supposed to be doing and stop talking about it. Because the more they talk about it, the worse the game gets.
Hey, man, so.
Like most of the announcers. They talk too much.
So who do you want me to have on, man? Leroy Butler or Gilbert Brown?
Well, you know Gilbert is one of my homeboys.
I know.
I'm gonna say that. See, Butler was from Florida. See.
Yeah, Jacksonville. You know, so, but I, you know, I'm gonna see if I can get them both on this week at the same time. You know, and I haven't, you know, touched base with them in a while. Now's the time because they're playing in Philadelphia. And you know they're both homers, man. They love the Packers. They bleed green and gold, man. You know, and so they sometimes get delusional with whether or not the Packers are good enough to beat a team like Philadelphia, which I don't think they have a chance whatsoever. I know Tony says they got like a 5% chance to make it to the Super Bowl. I think they might only have a 5% chance to beat Philadelphia. You know, Philadelphia is a real deal. And, you know. Anyway, Al, man, thank you very much, man. It's always good talking to you, my friend. All right. So we're going to talk about, you know, the Social Security Fairness Act. And so you may not know what that is. Social Security is in dire straits, and there's talk about, Calvin, the fact that even though you're investing money in it, you and your generation the bet may be that it might be 75 years old before you can before you can apply for Social Security. I'm just exaggerating a little bit. My generation, you could do it at 62. And so it's in really bad financial shape. So you got to ask the question about the Social Security Fairness Act and why bipartisan. Like I said, Republicans and Democrats don't get along on anything. But they both agreed to pass the Social Security Fairness Act. Joe Biden signed it into law on today. Got to ask the question why. 855-752-4842. You're on into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test, fix, save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on air.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. So what is the Social Security Fairness Act? And why did President Joe Biden sign it into law on yesterday? President Joe Biden signed the Social Security Fairness Act into law Sunday, the biggest change to Social Security Act in decades, and one that's bound to benefit millions of retirees across the nation. Americans who have worked hard all their lives to make an honest living should be able to retire with economic security and dignity, Biden said during the signing ceremony at the White House. The measure will give full benefits to millions of public sector retirees who receive them at reduced levels due to the windfall elimination provision and government pensions offset. These workers and their allies have long been calling for changes to these provisions, which they deemed unfair. Now, what you need to know, and Calvin, I'm not opposed, you know, people who work, and if they pay into Social Security, then no question they should receive Social Security at the end of their, working period. But what you need to know about the windfall elimination provision and the government pension offset was that people who were included in those things didn't pay the same Social Security that the rest of us paid. And so they were compensated even more in what they were paid during their careers. So because they did not pay Social Security, the amount of money that they made, knowing that they weren't going to get Social Security, was substantial. It's like a police officer or a firefighter who didn't pay Social Security, or they paid a small, very small percentage of Social Security. They understood that. And when they got their contracts were set in a manner that they would not really lose out when they retired because they wouldn't receive Social Security. So during the time they're getting their salaries, they're paying a very small percentage into Social Security. So this act that Joe Biden just signed into law on yesterday, while the Fairness Act sailed through Congress and the Senate over the course of several weeks between November and December, critics warned about the future pressure on the Social Security program and the problem of how to keep it running while it's facing impending insolvency. Now, here's what you should know. Majorities in Congress and the Senate voted in support of the hugely popular bipartisan legislation which repealed the WEP and GPO federal provisions reducing Social Security benefits for Americans who also receive a pension for work on which they did not pay Social Security taxes. Let me repeat that, because that is key. Majorities in Congress and the Senate voted in support of the hugely popular bipartisan legislation which repealed the WEP and GPO federal provisions reducing Social Security benefits for Americans who also receive a pension for work on which they did not pay Social Security taxes. That includes firefighters, police officers, teachers, and other service workers, as well as their surviving spouses and family members. The Congress Budget Office has estimated that the new measure will cost nearly $196 billion over a decade, a significant sum, especially considering that the moment the Social Security Fund could run out of money in 2038 if no action is taken by lawmakers before then. So here's what I'm saying. People who knew when they signed their contracts and to be employed by our government, they knew that they weren't going to be receiving Social Security. So all of their careers, they're not paying into Social Security. So explain to me how now all of a sudden those people now are going to get Social Security benefits at a time when Social Security is struggling to meet, you know, its commitments, especially in the decades to come. 855-752-4842. And why do Republicans and Democrats both agree? They've got all kind of, they don't agree on anything. This is where lobbyists come in again. The majority of the American people don't know anything about this. And so, you know, the people who benefit, you know, they're minuscule compared to the amount of Americans, you know, who are working and who are looking for their Social Security benefits. But because of these people having power and influence, our government capitulated to do what I think is the wrong thing. 855-752-4842. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Your thoughts.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is once again advocating for ballot measures to be placed by voters. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers wants to give residents more say in creating laws. Evers announced his intention to include a mandate in the new state budget that would require state legislators to consider a constitutional amendment allowing voters to petition for ballot proposals. Residents would be able to petition to repeal existing state statutes or create new ones, and would be able to place binding referenda on the ballot. Governor Evers proposed a similar plan back in 2022 after the overturning of Roe v. Wade temporarily triggered an abortion ban in the state.
Currently, voters can place ballot measures in 20 states. Dozens of Culver's restaurants in Wisconsin will be contributing a percentage of their sales today towards support for the Abundant Life Christian School community. The nearly 70 confirmed Culver's restaurants taking part will have a Make Your Meal Matter sign displayed. The amount to be donated is up to each individual restaurant. On December 16th, three people, including the shooter, died, and six people were hurt in a shooting at the school in Madison. A Culver's spokesperson said they were deeply moved to see so many locations taking part in the fundraiser. A former Wisconsin Senate candidate is suing media outlets in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
A lawsuit against several Wisconsin television stations will continue. Eric Hovde, the Republican who ran for Senate against Tammy Baldwin, accused several TV stations of defamation for airing commercials by the Democratic political action group Win Senate PAC. Brown County Judge Donald Zweedmulder heard arguments Thursday on a motion to dismiss the lawsuit. He gave no ruling, but instead gave the attorneys more time to submit written arguments. Hovde was defeated by incumbent Tammy Baldwin in the November election.
All of the outlets named in the lawsuit are television stations. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mamma Mia, there is a new champ when it comes to stage musical adapted to the big screen. Wicked has been a box office juggernaut since its release in November, and now it's just passed Mamma Mia as the number one musical stage adaptation, according to Puberty.com. The results of the poll apparently sent fans of Mamma Mia into a lather on social media. The friendly competition and debate between the two films should continue as Mamma Mia has a third installment in the works, and the Cynthia Erivo, Ariana Grande-led Wicked will see Chapter 2 hit theaters next November. If you don't like to watch horror films, there is the option to sidestep the blood and creep and just read the script. Deadline's Read the Screenplay series has made the script for the recently released Nosferatu available at Deadline.com. The screenplay was adapted by Robert Eggers, who is also the director. Nosferatu stars Bill Skarsgård and has received rave reviews and is currently in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the low 20s. Wind chills remain around zero. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 9. Partly sunny Tuesday, highs near 20 degrees. Partly cloudy, single digits Tuesday night. For Wednesday, partly sunny and highs near 17.
It's 8 at our studios.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview the inauguration of the Wisconsin State Senate and Wisconsin State Assembly and look forward to what's ahead in 2025. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
And you're lazy, just like that hound dog Daisy. I had one.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Who benefits from the new Social Security Act? Talking about a bill that was just signed into law by President Joe Biden, bipartisan bill, that will increase Social Security benefits to, government, ex-government employees who signed contracts knowing and understanding exactly what was taking place and that they weren't going to be entitled to full Social Security benefits. They didn't pay in the full rate that others did. And in the face of the fact that Social Security is facing insolvency, people are questioning whether or not this was the right thing to do. So who benefits from the new Social Security Act? In a report published in November, the Congressional Research Service estimated that as of December 2023, 745,679 Social Security beneficiaries. About 1% of all beneficiaries had their benefits reduced by GPO. As of the same month, about 2.1 million people, or about 3% of all Social Security benefits, were affected by WEP. Overall, the Social Security Fairness Act is estimated to benefit over 2.8 million public sector retirees who will now be allowed to collect full benefits. Those full benefits is somewhere around $400 additional a month. Your thoughts? Good morning to you, Susan. How you doing? Susan from Kenosha.
I'm doing fine. And it's really funny that you should bring this up because I'm looking at a case of paper files that I kept from our union. I belong to the Association of Law Enforcement Allied Service Personnel Union, which was the civilian union for the Milwaukee Police Department back in the day. And back in the day, they had a thing called the Goebel Pension Plan. And there was a little argument between the fire department and the police department. And there was a fraud letter that Bradley DeResca wrote so that he and signed Colwick's name to, which enhanced the police department's pension fund.
Hey Susan, Susan, that's a name from the past, Bradley DeResca. Wow, I haven't heard that name in decades, but go ahead. Police union, president of the police union, go ahead.
He produced a fraud letter. Well, at the time, we didn't know too much about this because this was back in 1999. But the police department didn't have to pay any Social Security because they were going to get, and the fire department, because they were going to get these huge pensions.
Right.
Well, being that we are a union working for the police department, we attempted to get in on this. Well, Bradley DeResca and the Republican Party did not like this. So we did not get a pay increase from 2006, and I retired in 2016, never seen a increase, but I wagered the material that I had against this with the city of Milwaukee to get my girls something. But through this whole 10 years, our people worked without an increase, and in the end, they never got there. They never were able to have a union. They never got their back pay. They never got the increase that they so rightly deserved. And so now when a friend of mine who's a police officer was telling me about this, about Social Security, I said, how can this be possible? How can this be possible that they would deny poor women who are making only $30,000 or $40,000 a year a hike up and take their pension away, would not give them an increase, yet now they're going to get this Social Security benefits, and it's going to, he said it was going to start as of
immediately
2023. So yeah. They're going to start it at 2023. They're going to back pay them. They're going to get huge checks.
You know, Susan, this is politics. This is why I keep talking about politics and the fact that this was done, again, bipartisan. You know, only a handful of elected Congress people had the courage to say this is not right. You know, it's not right. And because, again, with Social Security facing insolvency, you know, I see, you know, Tom said he has no problem, you know, with cops and teachers getting these the increase in Social Security. I do. They knew going in what this was, and they were compensated and in their pay and in their pensions to not have to worry about not getting Social Security. We paid the extra money up front to them. So how is it okay now that people who, again, who are going to suffer the most, those who can't afford it, are going to, and younger people are going to miss out on and their payments, and they're going to be forced to wait until they're 70 before they can get their Social Security? This is just not right. Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. Al from Milwaukee. Al, go ahead.
Al. I agree with everything you said, except the fact that why is Social Security becoming insolvent?
We know that the government, the Congress, both Democrats and Republicans use Social Security fund, raided it for billions and billions of dollars and never put the money back.
But that's the whole point that needs to be addressed, because every time something in the government failed financially, they borrowed money out of Social Security and never repaid it. Therefore, that money needs to go back into Social Security to the point where it would not become insolvent. The issue is that money is money that we worked for.
Yes.
And we paid into a fund to make sure that after we reached a certain age and stopped working, that we would have a basis of income to the point that we could maintain a halfway decent life. And they stole the money from us. Now, the question is, why can't we get it back?
Well, because
what you're talking about the other day was Trump talking about him and that fool from South Africa. They're going to attack all of these different
benefits,
budgets,
yes,
what have you, to the point that they're going to draw all of that money out of these things to the point where all of a sudden, as I said before, they're going to start killing people off because they're not going to be able to survive, and they get all of the money.
You know, Al, man, thank you very much for the call. You know, there's no question that the Social Security was robbed by politicians. This is why I call them politricksters, you know, and the fact that this was done because, again, lobbyists representing, you know, these retirees from law enforcement and other governmental workers brought pressure on and were organized and brought pressure on politricksters, and the politricksters capitulated, which is what they do. And so the people who don't know anything about these things, the average American citizen, is not organized. And so these kinds of things take place. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Yeah, in my opinion, we need to stop talking about Social Security insolvency and talk about scrapping the cap from $169,000 when anyone over that amount doesn't pay another cent into Social Security. This is what our problem is. We don't need to attack blue-collar workers. What we need to do is go after the millionaires and the billionaires when it comes to Social Security. I'm fine with people being millionaires and multimillionaires, but I don't think anybody deserves to be a billionaire in this country.
Hey, Tom. Listen, I hear you. And as far as attacking the blue-collar workers, you know, the people who benefit from this, law enforcement and others who work in government, they understood going in what it was. And now that they're retired and they can bring pressure on our elected officials to capitulate for a handful of people. That's what I'm talking about. I agree with you that they should lift the cap, but I don't see Democrats or Republicans forcing them to lift the cap, Tom. So in the face of the fact that they're not going to lift the cap, you add this to it, and it's just not, it's not right, it's not fair, it's not right.
But, Earl, this is the problem because of money in politics and lobbyists in politics. Now, hold on. I would ask that you bring Max Richmond back on your show or Alex Lawson from Social Security.
Hey, Tom, you know, I've been reaching out to Max Richmond. And so, you know, Max Richmond may not be doing it anymore. But I reached out to some others. But again, that doesn't have, what does that have to do with the fact that this thing was pushed through bipartisanly by Democrats and Republicans in 2 months? We can't get anything else done. Why do you think that was? To benefit 3% of the American people.
I would say because people need to get elected and you have to have money in politics. Because that's the way it is.
Okay.
Like you said, that is the problem. That's the problem.
Oh, well, okay, Tom. I know it's the problem. It's not going to be solved tomorrow. In the interim, these kinds of things are taking place. Okay? And to me, this is not acceptable. Whether there's money in politics or not, people knew going in what the deal was. They didn't pay into it. Why should they be receiving it? Nobody else gets that, Tom.
Well, like I said, anyone pays over $169,000 gets it.
Okay. All right, man. Thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842. You're into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Up next, we're going to talk about something called Tiger Parenting. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improved their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. So what is Tiger parenting? Tiger parenting is a parenting style that is characterized by strict discipline, high expectations, and a focus on academic achievement and family obligations. The term was popularized by Yale Law School professor Amy Chu in her 2011 book, Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother. Some characteristics of tiger parenting include high expectations. Tiger parents push their children to succeed academically and in extracurricular activities, strict discipline. Tiger parents may not allow their children to watch TV, play computer games, or have sleepovers. Little warmth. Tiger parents may be perceived as showing less warmth and affection towards their children. Shaming. Some tiger parents may use shaming as motivation for improvement. The term tiger mother is often used to describe this parenting style and is commonly associated with Asian American parents. However, there is no empirical evidence to support or refute the concerns about the impact of tiger parenting on children's development. So, Calvin, Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk have decided that what needs to happen in this nation is instead of fearing the excesses of tiger parenting culture and settling for the current state of American education, we should adopt the best features of tiger parenting. In other words, here's what Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy suggest. Hide your sitcoms and sleepovers because Vivek Ramaswamy is coming after them. Or that's what many would have you believe after the pharmaceutical entrepreneur and Trump administration appointee called out American mediocrity in education amid a heated debate on immigration. a culture that celebrates the prom queen over the math Olympian champ, or the jock over the valedictorian, will not produce the best engineers, Ramaswamy posted on X. A culture that venerates Corey from Boy Meets the World, or Zach and Slater over Screech and Saved by the Bell, or Stefan over Steve Urkel and Family Matters will not produce the best engineers. More math tutoring, fewer sleepovers. More weekend science competition, fewer Saturday morning cartoons. More books, less TV. More creating, less chilling. More extracurriculars, less hanging out at the mall. Calvin, your thoughts, man. So, in other words, social aspects of a young person growing up, they want to completely do away with that. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's just nonsense. To me, it sounds like Vivek was not the most popular kid in high school, and he's taking that out on everyone else. I mean, it's just, I don't buy that America doesn't produce high quality scientists and engineers. I just don't think that's true. I think we have a strong presence in engineering and science on the world stage from natural born Americans. And yeah, I just, it's nonsense. It's not a logical position.
Well, you know, they're saying it because, the tech giants are saying that they need more qualified people. They don't think that the American people fit that bill. And they're using this to say that we need to have immigrants who come into this country who are better prepared in science and those and engineering. And so that's what this is about. If you are not going to allow those immigrants to come in with those kind of credentials, then, if you're going to create them here in this country, they're saying you got to cut out all these other things, and you think that's nonsense.
Well, yeah, I do. I'll have to do some research, but I'm pretty sure the COVID vaccine was developed by American engineers. There's just so much that it's just not consistent with reality that America is struggling in engineering and science.
Well, so they're looking, again, for their own, cover their own hides. Because they are tech giants. And so, America is not short of scientists and those kind of things, but clearly to feel what they're looking at and the new America is what they're talking about. 855-752-4842. Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. We're going to talk about the Capitol Police Chief who opposes the pardoning of the assaults against police officers. On a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, a discussion on how progressives shouldn't just focus on a better election year message. They need a better year-round media structure.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. There is a major snowstorm headed east. Washington, D.C. shut down for the most part today. As much as a foot of snow could fall there. ABC's Rachel Scott with more on what's happening in the nation's capital.
Well, it's a snow day for just about everybody here in Washington, D.C., but not for Congress. By federal law, Congress must come into session today. They are on track and set to count the electoral votes, certifying the election results for President-elect Donald Trump. Presiding over it all will be his own former rival, Vice President Kamala Harris, fulfilling her constitutional duties.
Today is the four-year anniversary of the January 6th Capitol insurrection and has been declared a national security event. President Biden heads to New Orleans today, site of the deadly New Year's truck ramming that left 14 people killed, the first lady traveling with him. The president moving to block the sale of U.S. Steel to Japan's Nippon Steel, and now both companies are suing, saying the move was political. The White House says the move was for security reasons. This is ABC News.